1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are going to pick up on our lesson that we've been in on Thursday night entitled Salvation Basics. This is number 5, lesson number 5 in the sequence. So if we cover some things that you were not able to get, you just go downstairs and find the other tapes, and I'm sure it will be a blessing to you. Okay, Salvation Basics is our title. Remember, we're dealing with it from the standpoint of trying to at least find out what the Bible teaches about salvation, and primarily so that we can articulate our faith to others. That's what this is all about. So often Christians and believers, myself included, when I first started in the things of God, I didn't really know how to convey the message of this newfound faith. I just knew that I knew John 3:16. But I couldn't really go very much farther than that, or Romans 10:9 and 10. So I was limited to a track mentality. Can everybody understand what I mean by track mentality? I can give somebody a track, but I couldn't really take it further than that. So I believe if we can address these points that we mentioned that we will be addressing in the series, that will give you a better foundation to first understand it for yourself and then be able to share it with others. All right? Did I drop something? Oh, no, that wasn't me. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there? Yes. Scripture says here, and you've heard this verse. I want to read it in this context. Hopefully it will have a little bit more meaning for us. But as it is written, I'm reading from the New King James Version, eye has not what? Seen, nor what? Ear heard, nor have entered into the heart. I'm sorry? I didn't say verse 9? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I did. I'll take my perfect shingle down. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has what? Prepared for those who love him. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. Right after that verse, I wrote in my Bible, why hasn't it? All right. So now the verse is stating something, is it not? It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And I ask the question, why? So I write to ask questions of the Bible. Amen. You're not questioning God. You're just asking questions of what God said so that you can give a clear understanding. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, why has it not entered into the heart of man the things that God has what? Prepared for those who love him. Well, I think verse 10 tells us why. But God has what? Revealed them to whom? To us. Through his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches what? All things. Yes, the what? The deep things of God. Well, we know as Paul was writing this verse, he was speaking to people who had not heard the message of the gospel, who were being confronted with the message to start with. And he has to let them know that all that God has prepared has not entered into the heart of man concerning what God's prepared. Why? Because God had to reveal them. There's no way that we would know about all that God has for us if God didn't reveal it. Are you with me? Now, what we are walking in, we have one of the mastheads for this ministry is we walk by faith and what?
Not by sight.
Well, that had to be revealed to us how to do that. Did it not? For those that have been Christians for a while, many of you have been in the church for a while, like, and you've been exposed to teaching, but all of a sudden you came in contact, not all of a sudden, Pastor, but you came in contact with a principle of what? Walking by faith and what? Not by sight. And when you heard it, it says, I never really heard this before. I never really understood this before. Why? Because God had to reveal it to somebody first. What he revealed was consistent with his what? With his word, but it had to be Holy Spirit anointed. It had to be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the things of God and what reveals them to us. Does he not? So all this that we're learning in terms of salvation basic, God has given us information that we did not have without proper teaching. Is that right? As I mentioned before, man, often people think salvation just means missing hell and what? Going to heaven. Well, as we study salvation, as the Holy Spirit prompts, and that's what happens. The Holy Spirit prompts you to study things that have always been in the Bible. But you just glossed over. When I say you, I'm speaking generically. You just what? Glossed over it. Then the Holy Spirit will give a man or a woman who's been called to teach, he'll give them some information. They'll start to explore it and then find out that this was always in the Bible. It just hasn't been taught. That's why it's important for each one of us when we come to this is Bible study, to bring our Bibles with us, yes. Take notes, then go home and study the notes. Amen. Just don't have a nice collection of notes at home that you never study. Am I talking to anybody? Yes. I know I'm talking to somebody because I had a nice selection of notes for about 3 years. When I first came to the Lord, I had every sermon, every Bible study, had them in different colored notebooks and everything, but they were just done as the message was going forth. That was it. Am I talking to myself? No, you have to go back and you have to go over the message over and over again. You don't get points for writing it down in nice little outline forms. And you have to what? Study these things. Well, anyway, the Holy Spirit will reveal these truths to teachers by the Spirit of God. And then we would see, if you would, the heart of God. See what he always intended for us. Now, this series that we're on, Salvation Basic, covers 4 points that we've listed. Has it not? Did it not? All right. The first point was what? How the God of the Bible looks at mankind's position without Christ. All right, we've already covered that, have we not? Secondly, we're currently in this particular point. God's what? Love for mankind is demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. All right, third point that we're going to cover. Because of mankind's acceptance of God's love, he gives him what? Righteousness. And the fourth point, blessings that belong to the righteous. Now, all of us want to get down to point four. I know I do. You know, when I first started hearing about this, I want to get down to the blessings part. But to understand to be able to walk in the blessings part, you have to understand some things as to how God brought that about. Remember, we have a sin consciousness. We have a non-righteous consciousness in terms of the world that we live in. Even Christians still have a non-righteous conscience. They don't understand righteousness from the perspective of God. They understand righteousness from something that someone may have said to them, saying, well, you have to do this A, B, C, D, E so that you can become what? Righteous. What you wear, what you eat, what you drink, where you go, where you don't go. Is that right? That's what caused, you know, they said, well, I'm righteous if I do these things. Well, you can imagine if you don't do those things and you've heard that teaching all this time, you would think that you're not what? Righteous. And if you don't think that you're righteous, there's no way that you're going to believe that you can walk in faith. No way. It's not going to even happen. You'll be too what? Non-righteous conscious or unrighteous conscious. So God has to show us from his word, you were in a position of unrighteousness. But because of Christ, I brought you to a place of what? Righteousness. And since I brought you to a place of righteousness, there are some blessings that belong to the righteous. That's why you have to be in a place where it's taught. You hear what God says. Whenever you hear what God says, if it's not consistent, if you're not thinking in line with what God says, that means you have some other information up here. Is that right? When you're first confronted with the things of God, you have other information in that place where God's word needs to take precedent. That's why sometimes it takes time to teach, because you're not just dealing with the words that are just coming out now. You're dealing with words that people have heard for years. And Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12. He says, to know the truth of God or the perfect will of God, you have to be transformed. You have to put yourself in a process where you are transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that's done by the renewing of your mind with what? With the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit grabs hold of the Word, illuminates the Word. We get confronted with the Word. Now we go through the process of letting go of what we held on to in the past so we can receive this new insight. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit illuminates the Word. Okay? Now remember, I said when I'm first confronted with the Scripture, some people may be here for the first time. You're going to hear things perhaps that you never heard before. And you're going to judge what you hear by what you've heard. You're going to judge what you hear by what you've heard. You're not going to judge it for what's being said necessarily. You're going to judge what's being said by what you've heard said before. Is that right? Now, if what you've heard before is inconsistent with what the Word of God says, but your standard for judging is what you've heard, you're going to reject what you hear tonight. It's normal. So God says you've got to be in an environment. His Word, he said, is alive. It's powerful. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. It pierces through that, drops down into your spirit, and then begins to illuminate it. That's what this verse says. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has for what? For those that love him. And as we go through here, it says, this is how you move from not being in the right position with God to what? Being in a right position with God. The more you hear, the more God's word confirms it, the more you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. Amen. And once you see yourself the way God sees you, then you can walk in all the blessings that he has for us. Amen. When we start talking about the blessings of God and the types of things that we talk about in this church, walking by faith and not by sight, it makes no common sense. Amen. It's all right if y'all say amen. Because I'm speaking to what's on the inside anyway. How do you think I know this? Been through, done that, doing that. So you have to keep exposing yourself to that which God reveals. There's no way we could know it unless God, what? Reveals it. Since I come into the earth realm, getting back to my unrighteousness mindset part, that's who we are. We're alienated from God. We've already covered that, have we not? That's who we are. When we come into the earth realm, we're alienated from God. Now, we're confronted with the Word of God, but it's so hard for us to see how we could be that person when we feel the way we feel. How could God love me after all the things I've done? Amen. And if you don't get your mind renewed, you'll stay there. You'll be righteous from God's standpoint, but you'll be unrighteous in your own mind. And you would not dare to believe God because you don't feel that you can. So our purpose in terms of the study is to show sequentially, if you would, what our position was without Christ. Is that right? Secondly, to deal with God's love for us in the as it is demonstrated by the what? The saving work of Christ. All men have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. According to whom? Which God? The Bible. Okay, don't ever forget that, because that's, again, we're sharing some things so that when we talk to people, we'll at least give them the position of the Bible. Many people don't know the position of the Bible. They talk about Christianity, but their Christianity is based on what they see in people. What they've seen practiced throughout history. And what you've seen practiced throughout history may or may not be consistent with the Bible. But it's classed as Christianity. So you have to study it from the Scripture, at least find out what the Bible teaches about it. And you'll be able to go back and say, you know what? There's some things practiced throughout history that was inconsistent with the Bible, but yet it was called what? Christianity. Amen. There's some ideas that people have about Christ that's inconsistent with the Bible, but it has been practiced by the church. So the deduction is made, well, if the church does it, obviously it's right. That's why people will often say in the church, well, if the pastor said it must be right, I don't need to bring my Bible. So hundreds of thousands of people go to church every Sunday without a Bible. The only standard they have at that point is a word that's coming from the person standing in the pulpit. They can tell you anything. Amen. And because you know you have a sincere appreciation and honor for the man or woman who stands in the pulpit, they more or less kind of accept the word, or they just go there for, you know, to appease somebody. But those who are sincere, you know, they just, well, I have honor for and praise for the man or woman of God. You better check out what they say. That's why we tell you to bring your Bible. This is not a common occurrence for people bringing their Bibles to church. How many people know that's true? You know, how many people know that's true, but you've been in church for at least 20 years prior to coming to a church like this? Look at those hands, see? I'm just showing you. So you have to have the word is what's going to what reveal the truth to us, and the Holy Spirit takes that word, anoints it, and what brings clarity. All right, so God's love for mankind is what? Demonstrated in the what? Saving work of Christ. That's God's revelation. God has to what? Reveal that. There's no way we know that without God what? Revealing. Once he reveals it, now I'm confronted with God's revelation and my tradition. Whether or not my tradition is in church or just tradition based upon the way the world thinks. But I have the revelation of God on one side and the traditions and the mindset of the world on the other side. I will have to make a choice. Amen. That's what this is about. You're not going to be able to stay here and be neutral. It's too late. You are in earshot. You are in earshot. And the Holy Spirit will bring what I'm saying to your remembrance. You will not be able to say, I didn't hear the message of the gospel. All you can say is, I didn't believe it and I rejected it. Now, God does not have a problem with people being skeptical, saying, I will hear more. What he has a problem with is people say, I don't believe that and I will not receive it. I reject that. Well, what do you have in its place? What do you have in its place? You have accepted something. Maybe it wasn't called the gospel, but you've accepted something as truth. And God challenges that. He says, no, I'm truth. And I reveal myself by my spirit to those who open themselves up to me. I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody opens, I'll come in. When I come in, I'm bringing illumination with me. Does that happen to anybody? All right. So we left off last week. We were in Acts 17, correct? All right. We've already covered 1 Timothy chapter 2 under the second point, which is God's love for mankind is what? Demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. We said God desires what? All men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 talked about is God is long-suffering, not willing that what? Any should perish. God what? So loved the world that he did what? Send his only son. And then we were looking at Acts chapter 17. Were we not? Where do we leave off? Verse what? Verse 16? All right, let's go there. Acts chapter 17. We're looking at some, an instance in the life of Paul when he went forth proclaiming the message of the gospel, and he came across the Epicureans and Stoics. These were different philosophers, and some of this philosophy still exists today. It's just under different names. There's nothing new under the sun. And like people coming up with new doctrines and new ideas, it's been around for ages, just called under different names. Verse 16. Paul was at Athens in Greece, the center of philosophy at that time in the then known world. He says, now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was what? Provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to what? Idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Now, notice these terms. There was a reasoning going forth because people had ideas. Paul had to convey the message. When you go into the workplace and you go into your everyday life, people are going to reason with you about what you believe. If you can't articulate what you believe, they're going to just say, forget it. Talk to the hand. And God has called us fishers of men. He didn't call us to sit on the pew and just come hear the message that the pastor gives. He calls us to get the information so we can go out and share it with others. Now, I would guarantee you that each one of you in some situation has heard a conversation going on about Jesus, about Christ, or about the things of God. And since you didn't have, and because you didn't have any information, you didn't enter it. And what happened was, as people were promulgating their views, nobody was there to stand up for Jesus. And if you were, it was limited. There was no ability to be able to take, hear what someone says and say, well, I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you what the scripture teaches about what you just said. Come with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is Bible study. I didn't say wake up, I said Bible study. You're not asleep yet. Are you following me? So we have to take the word and get it on the inside of us so we understand what the basics of salvation are, so we can what? Share it with others. Paul did what? He's doing what with the people in the synagogue? Reasoning, all right? There's a dialogue going on here. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers did what? Encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Now, a babbler is one, and if you study the background of the text, it has to do with people who would proclaim different philosophies and different ideas, like in a town square. That's what this was like. But it was called the Areopagus, and if you've done any Greek study, you know where that was. And they would stand in the center, and they would proclaim what their philosophy was. And the Epicureans and the Stoics, they were different philosophers. They spent all their day just listening to new stuff. So here comes a guy with some what? Some new stuff. And that's what's happening, because they never what? Heard that before. They're judging Paul by what they heard. So they asked, what does this babbler have to say? Others said, he seems to be a what? Proclaimer of what? Foreign or strange gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Remember last time I said that there, don't enter into a debate with somebody about Christianity if they don't want to deal with the resurrection. Because your faith is centered in the resurrection. It's not centered in miracles. It's not centered in the teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. It's centered in the resurrection. If Christ did not rise, we are still in our sins. Amen. You need to get that down on the inside. And we're looking at Paul because Paul was commissioned by God to go and proclaim the message of the gospel to the Gentile world. Was he not? Yes. Now, Paul was unique because he grew up in a Greek city. He was a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, and he grew up in a Roman province. So he was uniquely gifted to take the message to the Gentile world. He didn't grow up in Jerusalem, where he would not have had all this exposure. See, even though he was a strict Jew, he was exposed to Greek philosophy in a Roman city. That's why he can quote some of these Stoic philosophers. That's why you'll hear him using metaphors that are peculiar to the Roman legion. He was exposed to it. Later on, he says, to the Jew, I became like a Jew. To a Greek, I became like a Greek. And to the Roman, I became like a Roman. Why? Because he had been exposed to all of them, and he could minister to them where they were. You need to be able to speak language other than church language. Case in point. You know, Jesus came and paid the price for our sins because of the propitiation, which was... You've lost the person. You quoted the scripture, but it's only clear to the person who studies or knows what you're talking about. You're going to have to break it down. That means you have to do some time. You have to come with me. If I'm going to convey the message of the gospel, I'm going to deal with people in everyday life. That's why we're covering these salvation basics. Get that into your heart. At least you'll be able to share your faith and know something more about it for yourself. Are you following me? He continues, and they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some what? Strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to what? Know what these things mean. For all the Athenians, and this is like a subpoint here, a postscript in a sense. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to do what? To tell or hear some new thing. Amen. I'm sure we got that same thing going down in the village. Soho, places in Harlem, Brooklyn, all over, you got those little spots where people, they just kind of hang out and is that right? just one day when they're talking about things, let me bring some strange things to your ears. Let me talk to you about Jesus a little bit. I go to church. Have you ever heard people, are you a Christian? I go to church. I didn't ask you if you went to church. I asked you if you were a Christian. Are you a Christian? I don't hurt anybody. I do, I do nice things. Where did that information come from? Somebody conveyed that to them because their answer to, are you a Christian, is everything other than what the Bible says. I'm all right. I don't get into religion too much. Yeah, you're in a religion. Your religion is no religion. Are you with me? These are the kinds of things that people do. Okay, then Paul said, stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Some Bible says superstitious, but the idea is religious. In other words, you do things on an ongoing basis and you're trying to, if you would, achieve a relationship with God or gods through what you do. This is your practice. It goes on what? Over and over and over again. So the idea of being religious is not the same as being one who has a relationship with Christ. There are people who come to church every Sunday who are religious, but they don't have a relationship with Christ. They base their walk in Christ or their understanding of who Jesus is based upon what they grew up with, where my mama brought me up in the church. But do you know the Lord yourself? Well, I grew up in the church. Do you know the Lord? I grew up in the church. Are you with me? That question, someone should be able to see. I know the Lord. How? Because certain things. You should be able to spell out how you know the Lord. Amen. Amen. Still here? For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription. To whom? To the unknown God. They wanted to make sure they covered everybody. But Paul sees this and he gave him as an opportunity. He says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I what? Proclaim to you. Now, how would Paul know that they did not know the God that he's getting ready to share with them. I'm sorry? Because he was looking at all the other gods, and Christ was not in it. So he says, okay, you do have an idea that there might be an unknown God. Let me tell you about him. He has their ear. He sees an opportunity to at least have someone hear him. And if that's all you, sometimes that's all you can do is have a person just listen, go into neutral for a moment. Let me proclaim the unknown God. You may not believe him. You know, that's not my job to make him believe you. My job is to share with you what the word says to the best of my ability. The job of the Holy Spirit and the job of the word is to bring about a difference. My job as a believer is to make sure that I give you the best information that the Bible gives. None of us can get away from that. Each one of you sitting in the pew tonight, that's your responsibility. To know what the word, as a believer. I mean, if you're a believer, then you have a responsibility. Your responsibility is not just to come to church. Your responsibility is to come to church so you can get the word and be able to share it with those who don't know the word. To seek, save the lost. From whose perspective? God. Which God? The God of the Bible. All right, the God of the Bible. Now, we believe that he is the God, but not everybody does. So I just put that in there so that you could at least keep, you know, share that with people in their conversation. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I what? Proclaim to you. Then he goes on to give them, a background. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed something, since he gives to all life, breath, and what? All things. Now, obviously, that philosophy, that what he's saying now is not necessarily new information in a sinner like the Areopagus. These truths have, you know, crossed the ears of people in some form or another. What he's getting ready to do is give them some added information that they didn't have. But some of the things that he said now, people already believe this to a certain extent. He goes on. And he has made from one blood all or every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Okay. All right. Now, what are you going to do with that? That's a powerful statement. From one blood, he has made all nations to dwell what? On the face of the earth and has determined their habitation. How do you interpret he has made from one blood all who dwell on the earth? I mean, just without adding Adam and Eve, I know Adam and Eve, but if you just heard that and you didn't know anything about Adam and Eve, if someone said that to you, how would you interpret that? Okay, one blood means that everybody that's on the earth came from some common source. Now, we can add Jesus, and we can add Adam and Eve, and we can add that because we have information. But the person that you may be speaking to does not necessarily know Jesus. So Paul is not trying to give to them some religious language. He's trying to give them something that they can at least tap into and then expand it. You may not be able to drop John 3:16 on the person right off the bat. Amen. Or Romans 10:9 and 10. You're going there, but you may have to find out where they are so that they can what? At least receive the message. And that's what we're doing. That's why we said in those four points, which are how the God of the Bible looks at mankind's position without Christ. God's love for mankind is what? Demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. And then in the other two points, because of mankind's acceptance of God's love, he gives man what? Righteousness. And then there are blessings that what? Belong to the righteous. All right, so Paul lays this foundation down. And he says, and he has made, let me put a pin here. Nor is he, God who made the world, verse 21 again, 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and what? All things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. That's sort of the background for the series Race, Religion, and Racism. The series for Race, Religion, and Racism wasn't addressed to the world. It was addressed to the church.
Amen.
Amen. Say to your neighbor, it was addressed to the church. Now, why was it addressed to the church? Because there was racism. Let me go over this side over here. There was racism in the church. Irrefutable. Throughout history. Still is today. So the message, Dr. Price's position on the series was, how can we claim to be Christians It's oxymoronic to call yourself a Christian and then be racist. If you believe with the Bible, and then say, I claim I believe the Bible. Because God's not racist. Not the God of the Bible. Maybe people who've been in the church, who went forth in the name of the church, have been racist, but not the God of the Bible. Maybe that's why the world doesn't run to the church, because they see hypocrisy in the church as it relates to this. So the series was to get the church at a point where it would stop its hypocrisy and start living out the message of the gospel. Amen. Now, all of us have been through different things. I grew up in the South. I drank out of colored fountains. Amen. I went to the back to get food. Some of you all just read about it. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not mad at anybody.
No.
Understand? I am saying, if I'm a Christian, I'm going to have to take a different posture. I can't just grab hold of the blessings and forget the heart. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so God is coming. And when he starts to come, his word is two-edged. It's cutting on every front. And sometimes we have to just break free of things and let God work with us. And so Dr. Price's position was, why is the church like this? Boy, it's quiet in here. Anyway, let me move on. If you haven't had that series, that's a good set of books for you to buy. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times, the boundaries of their what? Of their habitations. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might what? Grope or grab hold to him for him and find him, though he is not far from what? Each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Now, he just quotes one of the philosophers. Who's he dealing with? He's dealing with those people on Mars Hill, is he not? So to be able to kind of bridge a gap here, he grabs hold of something that they already proclaim. For in him we what? Live and move and have our being, as also some of your own what? Poets have said, for we also are his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's what? Devising. That's the problem today. Man has devised his own God. We may not have idols of gold and silver, but we've devised our own God. The world has. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, who is Paul representing here? Who's Paul representing here? All right, he's representing Jesus Christ, who was sent by whom? God of the Bible, right? Okay, so now that's all I'm doing is letting you know why I believe what I believe, brother, sister. This is my source. Now, you may not agree with my source, but that's fine. But this is my source. What's your source? Because you're going to believe some source. If you don't believe this, you believe something else, and it's based upon something you heard that you weren't there when it happened. Amen. If we're talking about God, that was before you were here. You tell me you believe God, I'm asking you, what information did you get from God? God is infinite. He has to reveal himself to finite. So how did you get your information? And if you do have information, where did you get it from? Or do you know where you got it from? Or did you just get it from a mixture of different places and say, I'll accept this? Now, again, I accept what I read here. This is my source, and I agree with that. But you need to find out what your source is. So don't down my source, because neither one of us knew where it was to start with. We weren't there when God created the world. My source is just as good as your source. All we need to do is run with it. Now, I believe that if I speak God's word, if he's God, he's going to confirm his word. With what? Signs follow. So you ask me why my life changed. My life changed because I grabbed hold of this. You asked me. I didn't ask you to start this conversation. You said, you know, brother, you used to run with me in the clubs, and we used to ping out and party, and, you know, we were on the down low together, and I thought I'd cover everybody. you know what I'm saying? And then you said you got saved, and your life changed. I want to find out, why did it change? Well, I started right here. And I started reading the word, and the word made a difference in my life. But I don't believe that, brother. Hold on, man. You asked me, why did my life change? I'm telling you. Now, the God of the Bible says when the word comes in, it's going to affect a change in a person's life. With signs following. Here's a sign. Here's a sign. You know how we hung out together. Here's a sign. I'm changed. Why? God's word changed me. Amen. The Bible says we would become a witness to others, meaning our life would change in such a way that there would be a demonstration to those that see us that something has taken place. Now, if that person doesn't believe, it's not going to change me. If they don't believe you, then it's not going to change you. You're saved based upon the word. Are you with me? I always say what? Based upon the word. Not based upon my, based upon what the scripture says. I grab hold of the word, so I'm running with the word. Now, we'll both find out. Let's see if one doesn't believe it while he or she's in the earth realm, and you believe it while you're in the earth realm. When we die, we'll find out. Amen. Now, I'm not willing to play salvation roulette. You know, because the word of God has touched my heart, so I'm going to go with this. Right or wrong, I'm going with this. I'm going to cover my bases. Now, if you are that tough that you don't need your bases covered, I won't see you at death. No, don't be talking about we're going to be partying. No, I'm going up, you going down. According to what? According to the Bible. Hello. Ain't mad at nobody. if I'm a Christian, I need to share what the message says. And the message is very dogmatic. And I do all that I can to share it and articulate it and open it up to you, but I got to share what it says. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Here's an operative verse. Truly, these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands Christians. Now God commands Jews. Now God commands black people, brown people, yellow people, white people, red people, all men. Where? Everywhere. To do what? To repent. Why is God doing this? Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in what? Righteousness by the man whom he has what? Ordained. He has given assurance of this in to all by what? Raising him. Amen. See, Paul is saying, my faith is vain if Christ did not rise. If there's no resurrection, we need to close the church down. Amen. We need to close the church down and go just do whatever you're doing. Hang out, whichever way you're hanging out, because our faith is vain. There's no power. God has said, that's the key element in Christian, if we call Christian doctrine, is the resurrection. Not Christmas. And really not Easter. But the resurrection. 3 days after the Passover. That's the key. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And traditionally, across the world, we're still grabbing hold of something that does not really depict the resurrection. It's not tied to the Passover. It's tied to the equinox. We call it Resurrection Sunday. Better known as Easter. Can you see the contradiction?
Yes.
Can you see how people who at least read for themselves? You know, I remember when I first taught on the holidays. Boy, people wanted to cut me up. They wanted to beat me up. They were just, how dare you tear down Christmas? How dare you speak about Easter? They were so entrenched in the tradition, they couldn't hear the truth. Are you following me? Wait, anybody glad they came tonight? Now notice he says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's why you and I have to go everywhere to proclaim the message of the gospel. Because he has what? Appointed a day on which he will judge the world in what? Righteousness. By whom? By the man whom he has what? Ordained. He has given assurance of this to who? All would talk about. Who's all talking about? Everybody. Everybody meaning? All mankind, the world, right? By what? Raising him from the dead. Either that's true or it's a lie. No in between. It's either true or it's a lie. You either believe it as truth or you believe it's a lie. That's the message. That's what really you are. That's why it says that you shall confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God what? Raised Jesus from the dead. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth what? Confession is made unto salvation. And the key point in there, do you believe that God raised him from the dead? No, I don't. Okay. We'd say that's a wrap. If you continue believing that and you're not brought to a place where you accept that as a truth based upon hearing the word of God, then according to the God of the Bible, at death, you've rejected him. Now, those that reject him, don't spend time with him. Are you following me?
Yeah.
No. Here's what you're going to come in contact with. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. You're going to get that. Don't be dismayed just because people mock it. They mocked it when Paul taught it. They mocked it when Jesus taught it. You think they're not going to mock it when we teach it? Some mocked, while others said, we will what? Hear you again on this matter. Praise the Lord. That person is just, they're not ready yet. But they say, I'll hear it again. There's groups of, no, I don't receive it. I'm mocking it. How can anybody rise from the dead? Nobody can raise from the dead. That's impossible. It's like, you know, you hear people say that this disease is not curable when Jesus healed all diseases. You hear that a disease is incurable too long, you're not going to have faith to believe that yours can be cured. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed among them Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others what? With them. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have some that mock, some that say, I will hear you again, and some who will join you. Amen. Don't be dismayed. Yes. You're always in a what? Win-win position. Amen. You're proclaiming the message of the gospel. But you can't proclaim what you don't know. And you can't what? Articulate. How many of you have read this passage before? Okay, how many have not read this passage before? Okay, so it's been in here. And this is a story of the church, how it developed. Gives us a pattern of how we go forth and proclaim the message. It's been in here. My people perish for what? Lack of what? Knowledge. All right, let's go on to another point. So we see that God is calling who? All men to repentance from what? Every background. Not just some backgrounds, but what? Every background. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're dealing with the point God's love for mankind is demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. John chapter 12, looking at verse 42. Now, remember, I said that whenever we go into a verse in the Bible to get the full context, you'd have to read what went before and what came after, correct? All right, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, what? Many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not, what? Confess him, lest they should be put out. They believe, they heard the truth, and this is still going on today. People hear the truth, but they are too tied to their tradition, to their circle, to their philosophy, to their group, that if they do receive the Lord, they'll be put out, mocked, you know, discounted. Don't be like that. You know, if the message of the word is ministering to you, don't reject the message. It's not a man trying to persuade you. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm expecting as I read the scripture that it's going to prick the hearts of somebody. That's what it said it would do. My job is to, you know, to maybe put it in outline form so that we can teach. But the message has to be anointed by God. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Wow. Is that deep? Have you seen any situations like that? I would come to that church, but I've been at mine so long. I'm the president of the deacon board. I'm over the mothers of the church.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
But God has brought you to a place where you're learning and you're growing and you're being fed and you know you are. It's not about a person or a personality. It's about the word. It's making a difference. But the position is too important to let go. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who what? Sent me. And he who sees me sees him who what? Sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to do what? To save the world." So if Jesus came to judge the world with his message, to save the world, how can those who proclaim the message judge the people they proclaim it to? Are you hearing what I'm saying? All that goes on in the church. Now, I'm not saying sin is sin. You know, I don't, if the Bible says that adultery is sin, it's sin. I can't get around that. But I'm not judging a person if I say you're in adultery. You're in adultery. I'm judging you if I say you are not worthy, or you no good, or there's no way that God could love you. What are you doing at this church? How dare you walk into the house of God being as bad as you are? No, you can't sit up front. No way. That's for righteous people. Y'all, I'm just throwing out some stuff that you know and happens in church. That's judgmental. That's not how the Lord came. I will stand you up and point you out if I hear you doing that in this church. Hold on, brother. That's not your job. Are you following what I'm saying? Because you are disrupting the flock. And the Bible says, point out those who cause disruption. Now, I'm not bad. I'm not packing. Nothing but the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you didn't call me. And Dr. Price didn't call me. God called me. And he called me, Dr. Price, and whoever else stands in a pulpit to proclaim the message. And his heart is for his sheep. And he came to seek and save the lost. And Jesus' own word says, "I didn't come to judge the world. I came to do what? Save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have what? Spoken will judge him when? In the last day." Either we're going to receive the word or we're going to reject the word. But God's heart is that mankind would what? Receive his forgiveness. We receive his love. God's love for mankind is demonstrated in the saving work of Christ. We're out of time. So I think I'm next week. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for your message.